Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Friday morning. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day and you enjoyed yesterday. This is show, of course, every day. It's brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint. Bourbon smoother than smooth. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Chase McCabe is off today. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and a man that we talked to right before the last matchup, 18 days ago, between the Titans and the Colts. He said he was headed to Nashville, and he was going to get into Nissan Stadium, and he was going to see the Colts beat down the Titans 34-17. Actually, he didn't say that part, but he did say he was going to go to the game. And we bring in Dan Dockage from 107.5 Fan up in Indianapolis. Dan, how you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. Love Nashville. I needed a vacation from being in Nashville. We ended up at Tootsie's for an eight-hour stretch. We ended up in Kid Rock's place, went to the game. My daughter lives there. What a great freaking town that is. I told my wife, let's go. Let's pack up and move. That place is too good. Too good.
So you did make it to the game because that we have heard of the Broadway flu, and it prevents people from showing up to games, or at least they show up and not feeling themselves, if you know what I mean.
We went straight. Drove in, picked up my daughter at her apartment, and went straight to the game. Yeah, man, we sat second row from the top because we got that kind of pull when we go into different towns. And, you know, it was a good win for the Colts, maybe the best Colts win since they beat Kansas City in Kansas City a year ago. So that was a good night for the Colts.
So you asked us how was the best way to get in, and we told you what it's been like, but we haven't seen it this year. So did you end up getting tickets off the street, or did you get them in advance online?
No, actually, we were driving, and we were going to be a little late. So my wife in the passenger seat went on Ticketmaster. You know what? $68 a ticket, worst seats. Not the worst seats, but not great. But I'll tell you this, man. Shout out to the lady that makes an unbelievable margarita. She kept it open 2 minutes extra so that she could get us one more for the ditch. And my wife loves the margaritas. You know what I mean? So they were closing up third quarter, and she's like, I got you. So I think the bill for my beer and my wife's margarita was like $23. I think I gave her a $23 tip on top of that because, damn, she kept it open for us, baby.
Good yes, for her. Good for her. Those are the stories we're looking for, Dan, in Nashville.
Yeah.
Awesome. So you just said it. So then the Colts followed it up with a really nice win in overtime over the Packers where they were trailing by two touchdowns at the half. What's really changed? It looks like the Indianapolis at this stretch of the season as we're about to wrap up another month and heading into the final month of the regular season look like they're going in the right direction. So what's changed in your mind, or has anything changed?
You know, quarterback play has changed. Phillip Rivers has been much, much better. I mean, much better. And when Phillip Rivers plays well, Colts are okay. You know, they tried to screw it up with a bunch of holding calls. I don't know if you saw the game.
Yes,
it was like
yes, we did.
Holding. It was a damnedest thing.
What, they have eight on the game or something?
Yeah, they went. And you know what? We were at the game, and they weren't showing the replay, so I figured the fix was in, something like that, you know. But, no, it's the defense has played well, really well, and Phillip Rivers has played much better. And because he's played better, a couple guys have emerged. Nyheim Hines, who's been pretty good all year in the absence of Marlon Mack, and then Michael Pittman, who is a rookie wide receiver out of USC, second-round pick. He was slated to start, got hurt, came back, and I think he got down to the 2-yard line maybe on a reverse against the Titans. He's played very, very well, and I think it's because Rivers is, you know, kind of trusting him, kind of being a veteran, throwing him open. But that's really been the biggest thing. Phillip Rivers has played much better.
You understand the mindset, coach, player. You get that mentality. What is the mentality like whenever you know you have what's the right way to put it? Not an advantage. I guess an advantage in the win column. You keep beating, you know, a team, a rivalry game. You have had the upper hand for a good while. What does that do to a room? Is that overrated, or is there something to that? I mean, the Colts, let's just be honest. I mean, we've talked about it a bunch. Everybody knows that the Colts have absolutely owned the Titans since they've been in Nashville. There's no getting around that. What is that like, that mentality, when you know you've had the upper hand on another team?
You know, it's funny. I'll give you an example. When I was at Indiana with Coach Knight for 16 years, so we played Wisconsin twice. a year. So that's 32 times. We were 31-1
wow.
against them during that time. But you know what you do as a team? You don't necessarily know that until you're done. You know how hard the games have been. And that's the thing with it. Like, I just use Wisconsin. Every time we went up there, it was hard. It was like, oh, man. And then you end up winning. And, you know, as a player, you kind of remember the struggle. You don't necessarily remember the end result. And that's literally the way it is. Look, there isn't probably one guy on the Colts team right now that could tell you what the record Colts versus Titans is in the last 5 years, because, frankly, they don't care. You know, guys care about their season. Guys care about this game. Guys care about their careers, and they should. So, you know, that there's two things with that. Number one is what I just said, and number two, there are certain teams, for whatever the reason, that you play well against. You know, like we've always said in the last few years, the Colts play pretty well against teams whose quarterback plays kind of in a phone booth. Now, Mariota would run around sometimes, and that would always hurt the Colts. But if you're not really that elusive quarterback, Colts have played pretty well. Tannehill can run, obviously, but he's not, you know, Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson came in here in the second half and just beat the hell out of the Colts. So, you know, it's a little bit stylistically, I think, but I'm telling you, I guarantee you there isn't a guy lining up that can tell you the record Colts versus. Now, the general manager probably can, the owner probably can, but none of those players know.
The media can. We tell them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. We talk about it.
By the way, I wanted to – last time we talked to you, you said you were excited to get on a plane and you were going to South Dakota. ESPN and asked you, are you in South Dakota or did that happen?
Man,
what's going on?
I am in beautiful South Dakota, Sioux Falls. We called games on Wednesday and then yesterday, and then I've got two more tonight. I got a championship game here, West Virginia against Western Kentucky. And, no, I tell you what, the plane, Delta, was great. It was easy. You know, they asked me, hey, man, you good with coming out here? We need you to go out. I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Let's go. So, no, I'm all good. I wear my mask. I don't go around anybody. You know, the governor of South Dakota, she's a little crazy. Hot as hell, but a little crazy. And
she is.
And she's kind of kept these things open. So people here are like, yeah, man, we're open for business. But I will say this, ESPN's done a great job, really good job, of setting up protocols, and the people that run this tournament have as well. It's really been fantastic.
That was a nice win for Rick Stansberry in Western Kentucky over Memphis yesterday.
It was a tremendous win. It was – Memphis looked pretty good. But I'll tell you this, and, you know, people in Memphis hate me because I haven't jumped on the – you know, the Penny Hardaway for God bandwagon. But he got out-coached, man. Stansberry figured out a matchup with this big kid Williams that they have against one of their guards on the block, and it changed the whole game. And you know what? Stansberry's got a good team. They got a I know Bowling Green's only, you know, an hour away or whatever it is. That's a team we're driving up and watching because this Bassey kid has a chance to be a lottery pick. He was great yesterday. He really was. It's a good team.
There's a lot of hype around him. I will say this, now that, you know, I endorse DraftKings and it's legal here in Tennessee, may or may not have been doing, looking at an odds boost Wednesday night with Indiana and Tennessee Tech, the over, and I may have dabbled in that game, so I may have been watching that game. I can probably confirm that I did. That Trace Jackson Davis kid, real deal for Indiana, man. He's impressive to watch.
Let me explain to you. I don't go with the maze. We endorsed DraftKings on our show, and I knew that Indiana was playing against a team that didn't have a coach because Pelfrey was out. Four players. I told my listeners, and I myself said, it's a house game. We call it a house game. Bet the damn house on Indiana. It was minus 21 at one point. We're like, dudes, we're going to Sizzler, baby. We ain't messing around. It's not a garage game. Sometimes we have a garage game. But that was a house game. Indiana was going to win that by 80 because not only Indiana is good, and Trace Jackson Davis is going to be a first-team All-American. His dad, Dale Davis, was a heck of an NBA player here for the Indiana.
Oh, that's his dad. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's his dad. So Trace has some pretty good bloodlines. He's a great kid. He works his brains off, and he's going to be a first-round pick, and he's going to be an All-American.
Talking to Dan Dockich,
And we're talking a little bit of everything here. Dan is in South Dakota. This might be the first interview we've ever done with somebody in the state of South Dakota. So, Dan, you got that going for you, for whatever that's worth.
It's
interesting. There's a ton of games on these last couple of
days.
You
can tell Dan was thrilled by having that mantle, you know, that on the mantle.
Yeah, of all the things he's got.
First guest from South Dakota.
Let me tell you something. If it's positive, if it's not like, you're the most blankety-blank person in the history of West Virginia. I hate you. You're not a Hoosier because you criticized Sean or Archie Miller. Hey, look, anything positive with me, I am 1,000% all in on, man. You want a good time, follow my mentions today during the West Virginia game. Holy cow. I was a coach there for about 10 minutes, and they still remember me not so fondly.
Well, Dan, it's been interesting to, you know, pop around all these channels and see all these venues that the games are going on in. So what's the vibe like when you're in there? It looks like a really cool place, the actual gym at South Dakota. It looks like a great setting. But, of course, there's no fans or whatever. But tell me what it's like. How does it affect the game when there's no fans in there?
You know, I haven't felt like it has. I mean, I think guys that want to ball or can ball, man. I look, it's weird. You walk in and – we do, during the Big Ten season, Jason Benetti and myself will do a Tuesday night Big Ten game. And when we come in, a lot of times there's, you know, T-shirts on the seats of the student section, so they'll have some kind of T-shirt giveaway. I walked into the arena for the first time yesterday, and there were I thought was T-shirts on the seats. But what they were seat coverings saying you can't sit there, because they had prepared for about 800 people, and then they had to shut that down. It is odd in a sense. It was odd the first time, and I talked to a couple of the coaches, and they're like, yeah, you know, it is kind of odd, but once the game gets going, hell, you don't even notice. Because, look, it's not a home court, so you're not, you know, you wouldn't have your band, you wouldn't have your cheerleaders, you wouldn't have your student section. So most of these guys have played in a preseason tournament where there might not be, you know, that many fans there, or there might not be, you know, a band. But the games have been really good. And as you're flipping around channels, you know, Gonzaga, Kansas, pretty good game yesterday. Gonzaga, obviously, better than most. The games, I think, in college basketball, first off, it's a relief for the players to get to play. Every player I talk to is like, oh, man, you know, it's so great to be playing. And every coach is like, oh, it's so good for these kids that, you know, have a little bit of normalcy instead of, you know, being in the little bubble that they create at college. But the games themselves, I think, have been really, really good, and the fan or lack of fan, excuse me, hasn't really affected it much.
Last thing for you, Dan. I always like to pick the brain of a college basketball person. Where, as you watch the game evolve, right? I think back to when you were playing, and you know what we know. Coach Knight was so great at teaching, just breaking down defenses. You know, reading the defense, curling off the screen, flaring off the screen. And if it took 40 seconds, it took 40 seconds, you were looking for that great shot. And now it's, you know, it's so much different. And everybody wants to be out of the lane. If somebody posts up, it's not for very long. Everybody can shoot the three, it seems like. What do you like this style of play? Is, you know, for a while, it seemed like the defenses were almost too good and we had too many games in the 50s. But as you're saying, I think as the game evolves, we're now getting a little bit back to a better flow. But what do you think about the style of play now as opposed to a generation ago?
I think that when I was first at ESPN, it was the most unimaginative offenses. And I didn't really realize it because, you know, when you're coaching your own team and you're getting ready, you don't see a broader picture. It was literally like, all right, we're going to run some nonsensical set, back it up, get it to our player at the end of the shot clock, go one-on-one with either a ball screen or not a ball screen. You know, I'm being literal.
Yeah.
And it drove me nuts, and I was very vocal about it. And a lot of coaches did not like me because I'm like, these dudes are making $3 million a year, and they can't think beyond their nose. They can't come up with anything better than that. I think it's better now. And, in fact, you know, going back to tonight's game, you know, last night or yesterday afternoon, both games, West Virginia has two guys that just pound you on the glass, and they'll throw it inside. I talked about the Basie kid and the Williams kid from Western Kentucky. When the game got close, they pounded it inside. Tom Izzo has won a ton of games. So has Roy Williams. So has Kansas. By saying, yeah, we're going to be a modern team. They say that. Yeah, we're going to shoot threes. Yeah, we're going to run. But our core is we're going to get the ball on the block. And there's a reason that they score a bunch. There's a reason that, you know what, they're always winning games and they can get into the 70s and 80s because they combine the two. Shooting threes is great, don't get me wrong, but there are so many dead possessions because guys take three dribbles, try to break someone's ankles, the whole crowd goes, ooh, you know, all that kind of crap. And next thing you know, he shoots air ball. I like the flow better. I particularly have liked this tournament and the way these teams have played because it is up and down. But at the end of the day, man, when things need to be stabilized, they're not afraid to go to the post four or five times in a row. And that's kind of what basketball was kind of designed to be. But you're right. Everybody shoots three. And, you know, guys right now, I've always said this about my son. My son literally practiced a third of what I did. he practiced a third. I swear to God, like I was every day. But he could handle a basketball 1,000 times better than anybody that I played with or coached at Indiana, just because that's what you worked on. That's what you did as a kid, handle the ball, get your dribble moves, get all that stuff. So it's evolved, but I think today's game, Western Kentucky and West Virginia, is pretty fascinating for guys that like basketball, maybe played a different way.
We're going to be keeping an eye on that. Dan, well, I'll give you a quick zinger as we let you go here. I'll take you down memory lane. My timeline, I'm not exactly sure when you became a head coach, but I played at Vanderbilt under Eddie Fogler. We had some good teams. We played Indiana a couple times. Our one trip to Assembly Hall was on ESPN. Bobby Knight benches Calbert Chaney, Eric Anderson, and Damon Bailey for the first half. I have no idea why, but we were very encouraged.
But Dan does.
So we're hanging in there. Matt Nover hits a buzzer beater at the end of the first half to put them up by 4. We feel great. Bobby Knight puts the three starters back in there. This is a team that ended up in the Final Four in 1992, and we ended up losing by 40 on ESPN. So we didn't have much of a push in the second half there.
Give us the goods, Dan. What happened?
Hey, man, let me tell you something. I was there 16 years. So many dudes got benched for so many different reasons. I'm thinking about – I remember that game. I remember Matt. I remember going in at halftime, and we – you know, the truth is we beat a lot of teams with that crew. I do remember this. Coach Knight kicked – we had a kid named Alan Henderson, Damon Bailey, and a kid named Pat Graham, who was Mr. Basketball. We didn't lose the game, but we came close and they didn't play well, and he kicked them off the team while he was buck naked in the coach's locker room with things swinging around, howling himself off, and Damon Bailey just started laughing. And I'm like, Bailey, man, you can't laugh when coach is kicking you off the damn team. He's like, Coach, I just got kicked off the team, and the guy was naked. He goes, I just got kicked off the basketball team by a naked coach. I'll be honest with you. Calbert never missed class. Calbert never, and Bailey never missed. So they must have, we must have just been made. Sometimes we made up things to be mad about, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just to keep everybody on, we're mad at you today, Calbert. Well, you only had 25 the other night, and you got straight A's. Yeah, I don't care. We're still mad at you.
You're getting complacent.
He was a heck of a player. We almost never lost in Memorial Gym back then. But one team that beat us the year before, we went to the NCAA tournament the year before in Indiana. We beat Shaq at our place. We beat Jamal Mashburn. But Calbert Chaney, we must have had 30 and beat us at Memorial Gym the year before. Well, what an incredible player. I was thinking of him when we were talking about curling off the screen or flaring off the screen, catching, shooting. He's just unbelievably efficient.
I do know why we beat you there, because I'll tell you this. Before we went there to play you guys with Cal and those guys, Knight went insane because in 1987, the year we won national championship, I think it was, or maybe it was 86, I can't remember, but Alford, we went in there and y'all beat us.
Yeah.
And Knight wanted to play, and this is what I loved about Coach Knight. Like Coach K hasn't played a real road game outside of the ACC Big Ten tournament like since 1984. Like, you know, they just played neutral site. Knight was like, all right, they beat us in that building. Sam Newton's my friend. We're going back there. And Knight would put, and people say, well, fear is a bad way to coach. My ass. Fear was a good way to coach. Because you knew if you lost twice in the same building, man, you may not get out of Nashville. You may have to hitchhike home, which happened to one player. You may have to do something. But there are a lot of games we were going to lose, but that wasn't going to be one of them because of straight out fear of, we called him the man. And he would walk in on practice, and I'd look at Alford when we were playing. I'd go, hey, Steve, the man's here. Let's go. Let's get going. Everybody, hey, the man. Hey, let's not piss off the man today. Let's go.
So, oh, man, that's great.
Here's the best motivator in Indiana, baby.
Dan, good stuff as always. Yeah, hey, we really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule in South Dakota. We'll be watching. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you down the road. By the way, the Colts, are they going to make it a clean sweep? What happens on Sunday?
They're not going to win like they won last time. I imagine the special teams. I think that punter from FedEx is probably better now than he was when he showed up, you know, kind of on a nut. I think it'd be a good game. Colts always play people down the street. I think it'd be a damn good game. And, you know, I hope the Colts win, and you hope the Titans win because it makes your shows more interesting. You know, yep. People bitch when you lose, but damn, there's nothing like the ratings when your team's in the playoffs, right? So that's yep. Kind of, you know, so I think it'll be a really good, I think it'll come down to the last possession. Either your team will have to get a stop or our team will have to get a stop to win the game.
Good stuff as always. Really appreciate the visit, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. That is Dan Dockich, 107.5, the Fan in Indy, and right now out in South Dakota calling some college basketball games. And that is the place where Western Kentucky upended Memphis yesterday, and a really good win for them. I saw Austin Peay came away with a one-point victory. Belmont cruised in their victory, and sorry, Elijah, it may be another long season for MTSU. It's one game, but MTSU hoops not off to a good start.
It was bad. That was
not good.
They flubbed it. I'll say that. They definitely that was a rough start to the year, and they're having a tough time with ETSU right now too.
Yeah, no Steve Forbes at ETSU, as we know, but yeah, and we saw, and TSU obviously was supposed to play yesterday, and their game was canceled. All right, we'll come back. More coming, and we'll continue the discussion on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.